Lord, for his help. I desire attention to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John and verse 16. The Gospel is recorded by John chapter 10 and verse 16. Now the sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now the sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. What is a mystery to me is, as far as I know, this is the third time, at least the third time, that these words have rested upon my spirit. And if your memory is good enough, the first Sunday in May of this year was the last time. And I believe I'm right in saying in 1998 I also spoke from these words. Now, as I said, it is a mystery to me why it should be so. And I have to beg of the Lord that he might show it to me why it is so. What is it that this word has again to be brought? And for what purpose has it to be brought also? And I believe in May, if I remember right, it was a mixture of concern and exercise, not only concerning the Church of Christ, but this means of grace also. For if the Lord is to do as he says, we may dismiss it if we are but letter men and say, well, all you're doing really is reminding us of what the Apostle Paul, I believe it's the Apostle Paul, in the 13th chapter of the Acts speaks. And there he brings a very solemn word to bear. We read, and then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, and judged yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Well, in the letter of the truth, this other sheep that are mentioned here are the Gentile church. And that and believing Jews together make up the church of the living God. In that there is a number that no man can number, and it is a number that no man can add to. Not one man can add another name to it. And blessed be God, there's not a devil in hell that can take one name from it either. So it is with mixed feelings and dependency upon a gracious God that we might venture again to speak from these words. Because the ultimate and indeed the everlasting blessing that is found in these words is what the Lord Jesus Christ says, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And it doesn't matter what men will tell you, and it doesn't matter how many denominations you find in our day, and there is numerous. My friends, at the end of the day, at the end of that day, there shall be this, but one fold and one shepherd. So there'll be one people, and there shall be one God, and there shall be one Saviour, there shall be one blessed Spirit. So that is the determination and purpose of the Trinity of Persons, that it shall come to this conclusion at the end of time, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. But these other sheep, these who are his, because that is whom he speaks of. If we use the example of the scriptures, my friends, he speaks of his when he speaks of sheep. There are sheep and there are goats, if we might use the term, and there's no one else. There is the lost and the saved, and there's no one else. There is the righteous and the wicked, and there is no one else. Using these terminologies that the Lord Jesus Christ does here, my friends, it is other sheep. The Jewish church shall be, as it were, gathered in, but the Gentile church shall equally be gathered in. They who in their ignorance and in their spiritual poverty still dead in trespasses and sins, if they are found amongst this other sheep, shall be gathered in. And you will see, and we felt it was necessary to remind you in that verse, glory to God, they ne'er shall rove beyond the limits of his love. Fence with Jehovah's shells and wheels, firm as the everlasting heels. Well, my friends, we have a word then once more. And as I've said, it is in absolute dependency on the help of God that we don't repeat ourselves of previous times, but to try to speak as we may be directed of these other sheep. And indeed, the promise, because here we have a most sweet and precious promise. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. What wonders there is in that promise. And indeed, what mercies there are if you can trace them. Because what the Lord Jesus Christ has said will come indeed to fruition. These other sheep shall be gathered. Where are they now, you say? Where they are by nature, the Lord only knows. But where are they by this word and promise? They are preserved. And they are a people that are kept. And what lengths of sin they might as yet be in, and what broad ways of destruction they might be travelling in, as they are called other sheep, my friends, they are preserved from going down into the pit. They are preserved also from committing a sin which is unpardonable. They are as eternally safe as any vessel of mercy is. Other sheep I have. My friends, he knows them all by name, and he knows where they are. He knows the depths of sin and the lengths of iniquity that they might be found in. He knows this, whether they are religious or profane, whether they are fed on the husks that the swine eat, or whether they are destitute of life in the world and amongst the world. But they come under this blessed description. They belong to Christ, and Christ will never lose them. And they are safe in that covenant of divine grace, but they are not as yet in the fold. They are not as yet brought amongst into the truth or under the truth. It may be so. Other sheep. My friends, the church is made up of every nation, kindred and tongue. It is made up of Jew and Gentile, but they're all Christ's. They belong to him, and he died for them in their room and place instead. And they shall never rove beyond the limits of his love. You notice in the hymn we sang as we started the service, and it's a very personal word there. I looked at it just now when we were singing this second hymn. But in that first hymn it says this: Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to save my soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. And what he does, my friends, to his people, what he does for his people as they are found now under the sound of the truth, he did it for those other sheep who are not as yet revealed, who are not as yet come to the knowledge of the truth, whether it's the truth concerning themselves or whether it's the truth concerning the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. I looked at a word in that familiar 40th chapter of Isaiah, that chapter which concludes with, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." And in that blessed 40th chapter, he mentions this people. If I can just put my eyes on it, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." Now, my friends, this wonder of wonders, this work of regeneration, and this work of bringing and drawing these characters, who they might be, these other sheep, unto himself. "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold." I believe this used to be the exercise, and when I say used to be, it still is the exercise of the early prayer meetings that we used to attend in this sanctuary when we first came. It was the desire of the soul that though we were as a people but few in number, that the day might dawn and the time might come when we shall see this gathering in. Because that is what it truly is. And whether it is in the singular, as far as a house of God's concerned, or whether it's the Church of Christ in general, my friends, they shall be gathered in. "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold." What fold are they then? Where are they now, this fold? What is this fold? You know, my friends, when the Moabitess damsel came to glean in the field of Boaz, she came from another field. She lived in Moab, an idolatrous nation. She was brought up to worship idols. She was separate bodily and spiritually from the people of God. She gleaned in a field of which there was no profit for her soul. But when under the guidance and direction and drawing power of God and the love that she felt to the people of God, she was found in Boaz's field, she gleaned there. And oh, what benefits were gained from that gleaning. What blessings there were laid up in the divine providence of God for that dear woman. My friends, where are they then? "They're not of this fold," Jesus said. "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold." Where would they be then? If there's only one fold and there's one shepherd, what fold are they in now? Well, they may be still dead in trespasses and sins. They may still be in the kingdom of darkness. They may still be under, and indeed content with, the days and the concerns and cares of the world itself, and satisfied with it. My friend, that's a fold that the Lord will deliver his people from. You remember, as we spoke a few weeks ago, concerning the parable of the prodigal son. He left his father's house. He left the fold. He left where there was plenty, where there was love. And he was found spending his substance in riotous living. That's a fold, my friends. That's a fold. But there came a time when that fold didn't satisfy him. And as we try to speak the words from the words, and he began to be in want. My friends, and this is where these souls that are Christ shall be brought to. They shall begin to be in want. We read, when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." You know, there's something about a sheep, and I'm talking now of the spiritual, not the natural. I don't know anything about those. But I do know, my friends, when a soul is called by invincible grace, amongst the first evidences of that spiritual grace you know will be a need. There will be a hunger, there will be a thirst, not now for the things of time and sense, not now for the pathways of darkness, not now to serve Satan well. This other fold will not satisfy a living soul. My friends, it will give them that exercise, it will give them that desire, that they have a soul now that lives, and that soul must indeed be satisfied, and God shall satisfy that soul. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, but then again they might be in a false religion. They might find, my friends, in some place of worship that they have attended for some long time, that they now become a little dissatisfied. And the reason is that there is husks rather than wheat, and there is but letter rather than truth. And by the divine guiding hand of God, and by the work of the blessed Spirit within, there shall be a dissatisfaction. I often tell you of those, and describe those that came to David in the cave of Adullam. What characters they were, but what spiritual counterparts is found in that description. They were in debt, in distress, and discontent. My friends, I wish in all my heart that we might have those in the Lord's house that have been brought from the latter truth and from the ways of man in religion that has no benefit and blessing to their soul. These are the characters who seek the truth. These are the characters who long for the truth. These are the dear ones who live to know him who rules and reigns in the glories of heaven. And they long for him. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. You may be sure of this also, my friends, and this is a consolation. He doesn't lose sight of any of his sheep, wherever they might be. Wherever they might be, whether it's in the world and amongst the world, or whether it's in some attractive religion that only suits the flesh and bolsters the flesh, but leaves the soul destitute. Are the sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Now, we might also look for a moment or two how it is that they shall come. There's a hymn that says, "Jesus draws the chosen race by his sweet, resistless grace." He will also move by providence. He will also move by providence. They shall be directed and guided if they fear the Lord, and such that are blessed with invincible grace are those that fear the Lord. They shall seek to know the way. They shall seek to hear from the Lord. They shall seek to know the divine direction of the Lord, where it shall be that they shall be found. The footsteps of the flock, my friends. You remember, and these things just drop into my mind, and I hope on my spirit, as an illustration of the truth that we are attempting to put before you again. But you remember the bride in the Song of Solomon. What was she but she was black? What was she but comely according to what is recorded of her? But she was also in earnest. She said this, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest, where thou feedest, and where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?" Oh, my friends, if there are souls, divine blessings in their souls, they shall hunger and thirst for the things of God. They shall not be satisfied with any falseness in religion, or any lightness in religion either. They shall not be satisfied with the letter of the truth. They shall not be satisfied with a mere framework of worship. They shall want something which is for their soul's profit and good. And that will be their cry, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest." And then the answer was from the bridegroom to the bride, "If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent." My friends, that is how they will come back. Or rather, that is how they will come to the place where it is of blessing and of comfort. "Now the sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." And you think of the wonderful way in which the Lord deals with sinners, those of his people. Wonderful ways, you know. Doesn't lay them in the grave. Doesn't lay them down under despair either. Doesn't bring them to judgment or destruction. Chastens them because they are his. But places his love upon them in that chastening. Brings them into this pathway. He loads their shoulders well with woe. And thus obtains his end. "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." How will they come? Well, we said they will be drawn. None come except the Father draws. None. My friends, if it's real, it's God's work. If it's real, it will be opposed. If it is real, it will never be overcome. If it's real, it will bring these other sheep under the sound of the truth, and indeed under the gracious influence of the Holy Ghost. I ought to say this, my friends, here. First and foremost, we must not in any way lessen the power of God in any way. We mustn't stipulate that a means of grace is the only place of blessing. We must never say that this is the way the Lord will work and this way only. We may look upon the means of grace as our spiritual home, and I trust it is so. My friends, but the Lord is able to bless and deliver his people wherever he sees fit. But a soul that is under grace will desire to be fed. It shall hunger for the things of God. It shall long for the things of Jesus Christ. It shall not be satisfied with being taught erroneous things which bring no life, nor comfort, nor blessing with it. My friends, even in situations and circumstances where the means of grace are not within their ability to get, or it may be, of course, where affliction lies upon them, or it might be in circumstances which are so opposite to going and coming the house of God, my friends, it is that they shall learn Christ, and they shall learn him by the gracious Spirit's revelation. "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold." You know, in the glories of heaven, my friends, there will not be one absent person. Not one absent person. There will not be a vacant seat in heaven, you know. It is a work that shall be and is determined by the eternal counsels of God. And as far as they go in the falseness and darkness of this world, as far as they go in in religion and under the under a false religion, my friends, it will be a power that shall overcome all such things, and the Church of Christ shall be complete. Them also I must bring. Heaven will not be complete without them. The number whom no man can number will never be complete without that these other sheep shall be found. But to try to draw some divine teaching here of the Spirit, my friends, we must have a place, and they shall have a place and a spot of ground, and it may be an experience too, that they shall be fed and blessed with spiritual food. Them also I must bring. Oh, how there's been struggles, you know, with the powers of hell. How there's been struggles with, indeed, natural opposition. How there's been many struggles between the soul and oppression or temptation. My friends, it will be a way in which the Lord will bring his people, though it be an adverse pathway. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Blessed be God, my friends, he will do as he says. And whether it is in a house of God, or whether it is in Zion, in the church of the living God, there shall be those who are his brought. No, we quote, don't we, determine to say, he watched all my path when Satan's blind slave I sported with death. Now, that's a wonderful thing to, although we quote it often, and I suppose it is a remarkable word in itself, but in the ways that he did, and can he have taught me to trust in his name, and thus far have brought me to put me to shame? The work of bringing, them also I must bring, my friends, is a sovereign work, but it is also an essential work, and blessed be God, it is a certain work, because there's nothing that can overthrow that determination. Them also I must bring. Some of us were brought up under the sound of the truth, and some of us weren't. But equally, my friends, the power is needed and the authority is needed to come to any saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is equally, my friends, as important to know the means that the Lord uses. My thoughts just a moment ago went to, in a way we might call, dramatic ways. I don't want to use anything that rises up within us naturally to call these holy things dramatic, but they are dramatic and they are remarkable, and they are mercy, my friends, to a soul. How the dear apostle, for instance, that remarkable way, that dramatic way, he was stopped, how he was brought to be a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ in a moment. How he was brought down from his proud, arrogant, persecuted spirit of the people of God to be a hearer and a believer and a follower of the despised Jesus Christ. Them also I must bring. Which brings us to say this, that though the work is great, and though the work is mighty, and though the opposition also is great and mighty, because the powers of hell must be defeated and shall be defeated, my friends, in the bringing out of these other sheep and the bringing in of those other sheep, it is the work of God and of God alone. Them also I must bring. And what lengths and depths and heights and breadths of false religion or of iniquity and of the world and of the flesh they may well be in, it cannot overthrow this work. You think of that mad Gadarene. He wasn't tormented by a devil, he had a legion of them. Can't understand that word. Neither can you understand the power of that word. A legion of devils. No man could tame him. They tried to do so and failed. A legion of devils. But the person of Christ, the glorious Son of the Highest, and in that wonderful act of mercy and that revelation of deity, the word went forth and he was delivered. One of these other sheep. Where was he found? My friends, sitting at the feet of Jesus and clothed and in his right mind. And what was his desire? He prayed Jesus that he might be with him. These are the blessings and the mercies of these other sheep. Extreme cases, you say. You might say, well, you're justified in using the word dramatic. My friends, the same remarkable work is to be known, must be known in us each if we are found in this fold, in this one fold, and under one shepherd. Them also I must bring. And then again the Lord will lay upon you, if you fear the Lord, the condition of these other sheep. You cannot, my friends, let them go into the world. You cannot let them, as it were, fade out of the memory because they are amongst the world. Remember the word that is in the first book of Samuel and the first chapter of Samuel, in a most different condition and place, of course. But there was one dear woman who longed for a child. Long for a child, a man-child. And the Lord granted her that man-child. And she said to Eli, for this child have I prayed. My friends, if that is, the Lord lays upon you some of these characters, these other sheep, you will find this, that it will be a most heavy burden. But it will be also a time that shall come, which shall be a time of blessing. Them also I must bring. You know what the hymn says, they shall ne'er shall rove beyond the limits of his love. You might find, my friends, that they rove beyond the limits of your patience. Or they might rove beyond the limits of your prayers. Or they might rove beyond the limits of your faith. But if their names are recorded in that book of life, if they're included in these other sheep, my friends, they won't rove beyond the limits of his love. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Wonderful word, you know. It is, as it were, the determination of God. And it surely is. But what mercies lie in these, in this 16th verse. What great mercies. Now those who have, in times past, have rejected the gospel, turned from it, desired only worldly things, sought only for those things which please the flesh, my friends, and yet in these characters that this word is performed, and it's performed by God, and it is determined in councils of eternity who's these sheep, who these sheep are. But it is also determined whose these sheep belong to. We read as we went down the very difference. He speaks of himself as the shepherd of the sheep. He speaks of himself as the door of the sheep. And he speaks too of the sheep. A living soul in Zion, my friends. It speaks of one called by grace. It speaks of the falseness of any other way and in any other person. But oh, it speaks too of the safety and the preservation and the mercy and the goodness that the Lord puts around these sheep of his. And it also is very solemn because those who were of the unbelieving Jews who questioned his words and who were unbelievers in the true sense of the word, how they would, as it were, accost him for what he said. But what a solemn thing to say, ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. There's the evidence of not being one. Ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. But on the other hand, to the safety of the church, and of these characters yet to be called, yet to be brought under the truth, yet to be the subjects of mercy and love, my friends, he also says of them, wherever they are and whoever they are, and in what disposition or place or situation or circumstance they are, them also I must bring. There you see, my friends, the sovereign act as well as the sovereign mercy of God. The sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. Now there's a mark of grace. You know, by nature we are deaf to spiritual things. By nature we are blind to spiritual things. You know, when the dear man John the Baptist was in prison and he questioned the Lord Jesus Christ, art thou he that should come? And the Lord Jesus sent those disciples back to John and said that they should go and show John again these things, how the blind receive their sight, and how the deaf hear, and as the poor they have the gospel preached unto them. You and I, when we were born spiritually blind and spiritually deaf. No amount of warnings that we heard from a pulpit touched our soul. We were indifferent. We were in opposition to such warnings. It was a language that we didn't want to hear, and soon as it was over, we went to our own company. What does that hymn say that we sung? When wisdom calls, they stop their ear and headlong urge the mad career. Judgments nor mercies ne'er can sway their roving feet to wisdom's ways. I look back on my younger days. I can remember my father praying in my hearing that what happened to me might be for my soul's good. But it wasn't so at that time. My friends, but they shall come here, and they shall hear my voice. What has taken place? What change has been made? And therefore, who made the change? My friends, only the Lord. When he unstopped your ears by putting life into your soul, when you became aware that there was a voice that spoke, and that voice that spoke brought indeed knowledge and understanding, both of your own sinful self and also of the holiness and justice and yet the mercy of God. What a blessed thing it is, my friends, when you hear for your soul. May you do so every time you come in this sanctuary. Not hear for an acceptable thing to do on the Lord's Day or Wednesday nights, but the Lord grant that you may hear for your soul. And if your soul is in health, you'll come to hear, and you'll want to hear to see what justice or mercy there is on your side. I remember hearing a minister say this many, many years ago, in the persecutions of the believers in Scotland, in the days of the Covenanters. If they found somebody on the way to a service, because they held services not in buildings, but in fields or in woods as they could, without being detected. But they came across a young girl going to a service. They asked her where she was going. And she said, I'm going to hear my father's will read. I go to hear my father's will read. My friends, they must bring, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. What a sign of life, then, spiritual life. What an evidence of desire is found there. What a longing. My friends, believers in Jesus long to hear his voice. That's the crucial and eternal difference between a professor and a possessor, is that they shall hear my voice. Not the voice of Moses, not the voice of God at Sinai. They shall hear that. You know what Jesus said in the 17th chapter of this book. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. My friends, when you hear his voice, this is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the voice, you read the Song of Solomon, the voice of my beloved. And they shall long to hear it. If you know yourself under a ruined state as a sinner before God, my friends, your prayer and supplication will be that the Lord Jesus Christ will speak to you and that he may speak for you. They shall hear my voice. But we must leave it this morning. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Amen. The notices for the week are as follows. God willing, there's a prayer meeting Wednesday. Next Lord's Day, there's a reading service in the morning. And I hope to be here in the evening. The closing hymn 139. Shepherd will supply my need. Jehovah is his name. In pastures fresh, he makes me feed beside the living stream. He brings my wandering spirit back when I forsake his ways, and leads me for his mercy's sake in paths of truth and grace. Hymn 139. that's in our heart. Lord, that thou would perform what thou hast promised to do in this house of God, oh, especially, Lord, but oh, in Zion, in these very dark days, Lord, where there's so little evidence of thy gracious work. Oh, do perform it, Lord. Do restore thy people. Do find the hidden ones, Lord. Oh, remember those who travail for souls. Oh, bring them into the blessing and under the mercy. Forgive everything that's been spoken amiss, we do pray thee. Bless thine own holy word. Gather us later in the courts of thy house here. And grant us then thy spirit. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, the sweet fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us each, both now and forever. Amen.